So, yesterday we completed the first chapter of Second Canto. Today we'll continue with this second chapter. This chapter is titled The Lord in the Heart. So, we saw that we have four topics to be covered. The first topic being the A description of the Dharanashraya of the Virat Roop Meditator. Dharanashraya means the object of meditation. And second is the description of the Dharanashraya of a Paramatma Meditator. The third is how a Paramatma Meditator achieves liberation. And the fourth is how a Virat Roop Meditator achieves liberation. Of these four topics, we have seen one topic in the previous chapter, which is description of the Virat form, description of the object of meditation for the Virat Roop Meditator. So now, in this chapter, we'll see the other three topics, which is starting with description of the form of Paramatma, so that the Paramatma Meditator can meditate on this form. Okay? So, if you remember, yesterday, the first chapter ended with description of the Virat form of the Lord. Now that this Virat form is an imaginary form, one might have doubts. Does such a meditation really bear fruits? First thing you are telling me it's an imaginary form. And if I meditate on this form, is it really going to give me liberation? One may have such a doubt. So, in order to dispel such doubts, Shukadeva Goswami gives the one popular example, in order to prove that indeed such a meditation has it bears fruit. So he gives the example of Lord Brahma. एवं पुरादारणयात्मयोनिर् नष्टां स्मृतिं प्रत्यवरुध्य तुष्टात् यता ससर्जेदममोघदृष्टिर् यताप्ययात् प्राग्व्यवसाय बुद्धिः सो इट् इस् मेन्शन्ड् एवं पुरा वन्स् अपान् अ टैम् धारणया आत्मयोनिः आत्मयोनिः इस् लॉर्ड् ब्रह्मा Dharanaya, by this process of meditation on the Virat form of the Lord, Nashtam Smritim Pratyavarudya. He regained his lost memory. So, the acharyas explain that it is not that every day Brahma wakes up and he forgets how to create. Okay, that's not an everyday routine that Brahma has. He gets up and where am I? You know, what is this place? What am I supposed to do? And then he goes up and down the lotus. And then he hears tapa, tapa. And then he starts tapasya. And then Lord gives him the memory how to create. This is not an everyday event. Okay? So it is mentioned that particular day on which Brahma did this pastime of going up and down the lotus to regain his memory back, that particular day of Brahma is called the Padma Kalpa. Okay. So, it does not happen every day. In fact, Bhagavatam itself describes three instances when Brahmaji forgets how to create and three different ways in which he is reminded about how to create. Okay. This one example of Brahmaji going up and down the lotus and finally hearing tapa tapa, and then his creation is mentioned both in second and third cantos. Further, this particular example of second canto, Shukadeva Goswami mentions a second instance when Brahmaji forgets, he is reminded, he meditates on this Virat form of the Lord and he gets the remembrance back about how to create. This is the second instance. The third instance is Shukadeva Goswami in the fourth chapter of second canto when he offers prayers. One of the prayers that he offers is, Prachodita yena pura Saraswati vitanvata ajasya satim smritim hridi svalakshana pradurabhut kilasyatah same rishinam rishabah prasidatam. This is Shukadeva Goswami offering a prayer, very interesting prayer. He says, my dear Lord, once upon a time when Brahmaji forgot how to create this universe, Brahmaji sends one of his energies. That energy is called Saraswati. Okay, that prachodita yena pura Saraswati vitanvata ajasya satim smritim. So she enters into the mouth of Brahma and she gives him the memory about how to create. So Shukadeva Goswami says, my dear Lord, just like by sending the energy of Saraswati and inspiring her to give the memory to Brahma about how to create, please inspire me also by giving me the memory to speak about that creation which Brahma created. Like that, Shukadeva Goswami offers her prayers. So this is the third instance when Brahmaji forgets, that is as mentioned in Bhagavatam, that Brahmaji is reminded in some other way. Okay, so therefore it is not that every day Brahmaji forgets also, and every time he forgets he is not reminded the same way. Okay, like that. So this is one of the instances where Shukadeva Goswami is quoting that Brahmaji meditated on this Virat form of the Lord and he regained the memory about how to create, and he created this universe as it was created before. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, he says, therefore, forgetfulness is one attribute which can be overcome by meditating on the Virat Roop. Therefore, if one follows the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam and meditates on the Virat Roop, then revival of pure consciousness and counteraction of the tendency to forget one's eternal relationship follows. If one meditates on the Virat Roop following in the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, then he says two things happens. First, revival of one's pure consciousness happens gradually, and counteraction of the tendency to forget one's eternal relationship follows after that. Okay. And then Prabhupada writes, after this revival of one's eternal relationship, or after this revival of loss of forgetfulness, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is established. One pointed attention to follow the process of devotional services. So Prabhupada is explaining how, starting from this Virat Roop meditation, gradually one progresses to the stage of one-pointed execution of devotional service. Okay? And this leads to devotional service. Prabhupada writes, this devotional service is real liberation. Therefore, liberation is not inaction, but liberation is service without human mistakes. That's what Prabhupada writes. Liberation is not inaction. Liberation is service without human mistakes. So, muktir hitva anyata rupam swarupena vivastitihi. That's how Bhagavatam defines liberation. Hitva anyata rupam, which means giving up all other designations, all other wrong designations which are related to the body, and situating oneself in one's constitutional state of servant of the Supreme Lord and acting in that capacity, that is mukti. So real mukti is not just merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and staying inactive. Okay, like that Prabhupada writes here in the purport. So now Shukadeva Goswami has given a powerful example of Brahmaji, who meditated on this Virat Roop and he got benefited. Of course, this is not the highest benefit. The practitioners of this path, they meditate on the Virat Roop in order to achieve liberation. But here, Shukadeva Goswami is giving the example of Brahmaji because he is a very famous example. Even though he didn't meditate on the Virat Roop to achieve liberation, but nevertheless, he got benefited. So that's why his example is given here by Shukadeva Goswami. Then, Shukadeva Goswami, before continuing further, he is going to speak that in contrast to this path of liberation, if one desires to stay within this material world and engage in sense gratification, either low-level sense gratification or higher-level sense gratification in Swarga, how this is not a very good option. Like that, in order to establish this, just in 2-3 verses, he chastises this path of pravritti marga. Okay. So he says, Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta yannama birdhyayati dhira partaihi paribrahmam satra navinda tirtan maya maye vasanaya shayanaha. He says, Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta. This panta, this path of Shabda Brahma, which means the Vedas, yad namabir dhyayati dihi. Dihi is intelligence. It engages one's intelligence in things of this world which are temporary, like Swarga. Kamatmanah swargapara janmakarva falapradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati, Krishna says. And they engage in so many activities, kriya vishesha bahulam. They engage in many, many activities which keep them completely absorbed. And then they say that there is nothing higher than this. So, he says, yad namabir dhyayati dir. And these things of this world are in names only. How? Now we have this kartal. Okay. This kartal 10 years back was probably not called a kartal. Okay. This was probably maybe it was a ore yet to be extracted. Okay. Or it was in some other form, not kartal form. Okay. So, similarly, even things of this world, till Swarga, okay, today one may say, I am in Swarga enjoying. And if that moment happens to be the last second before Brahma goes to sleep, then the next second, that statement is false, because neither is he in Swarga, nor is Swarga also there. Both are inside the stomach of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. So that statement becomes false. It's a, you know, it's not a eternally applicable statement. So he says that this Karmakandiya section of the Vedas absorb one's mind in things of this world which are not eternal. They don't give any eternal benefit to the practitioner. Paribrahmam tatra na vindate artan maya maye vasanaya shayanaha. Just like a person who in his dream, he is dreaming that he is eating some nice foodstuffs, some rasgulla or rasmalai. And then when he wakes up, he realizes it was just a dream. And he feels all the more miserable. So therefore, one who goes to the Swarga and gets used to a higher level of enjoyment, and after his punya gets over, Shine punya martyalokam vishanti, when he comes back to martyaloka, he becomes all the more miserable. Especially if Krishna chooses to give him the remembrance of how he enjoyed while he was in Swarga, then his rest of the life is total misery. Okay. So, therefore, Shukadeva Goswami here says that this path of Shabda Brahma or the Karmakandiya sections of the Vedas, as Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. This whole Karmakandiya section of the Vedas talks about, or the Vedas primarily speak about things within the three modes. Okay, Nistraigunyo Bhava. Situate yourself beyond these three modes. Okay, like that. So same thing he is, Shukadeva Goswami is also mentioning, that things of this world are temporary, and this Karmakandiya section is not a, to follow this path is not a worthy path. So he is not even comparing here this path of Karmakanda with bhakti, because that's not necessary. He compares it with liberation and this rejects it, and then just compares liberation with bhakti. Okay, like that. So Srila Prabhupada here in the purport writes, so some sages may say that one should do karma alone for going to swarga. This is the statement of the Vedas. This is the highest thing. That na anyad asti iti vadinaha. This is their argument. See, the Vedas only say, you know, one should perform this sacrifice and go to swarga and enjoy. But they say that this is the highest teaching of the Vedas. Na anyad asti iti vadinaha. Because these sections absorb their intelligence so much in such activities that they are totally convinced that there could be nothing greater than this. Unnecessarily, the intelligence of the sadhakas becomes entangled in such illusory happiness. This is true with happiness even in planets up to Brahmaloka. Abrahma Bunaloka Punaravartino Arjuna. Even if one goes till Brahmaloka, one has to come back. Thus, such sections of the Vedas can be misleading. Therefore, indirectly, Shukadeva Goswami is discouraging Parikshit Maharaj from having such aspirations. Okay, so here he is describing the path of liberation. But before continuing this discussion further, he says, now that I am discussing this path of liberation, but in case, if you have still lower aspirations, let me tell you that it's not worthy. It will give you only some temporary benefit, which will eventually make you miserable, like that. But then, one may say that if everything of this temporary world, of this material world is temporary, then should one completely reject this material world? What should be the attitude of the sadhaka towards this material world? Shukadeva Goswami mentions in the next verse. Because he has taken one extreme and chastised that person who thinks only things of this material world are real and this is the highest benefit one can achieve. That is one paksha. This is the Karmakandiya paksha. And the extreme, other extreme, Jnanakandiya paksha is this material world is false, so reject it. So here Shukadeva Goswami says, this stance I have chastised. So should one take the other extreme stance or is there something in between? So Shukadeva Goswami speaks about it in the third verse. He says, Ata kavirna masuyavadartaha Syada pramato vyavasaya buddhihi siddhenyatarte nayateta tatra parishramam tatra samikshamanah. He says, Ataha, therefore, kavihi, the wise person, apramattaha syat. Pramatta means inattentiveness, pramad, as we say. And apramatta means not inattentive, very attentive. So therefore a wise person must be very attentive to his goal of achieving liberation. Okay. And vyavasaya buddhi. Not only must he be attentive, but with great determination he should apply himself to that process of liberation. And in doing that, he may need some facilities. Because the body has to be maintained. For anyone to perform any sadhana, the vehicle of the material body is needed. Whether it is a karma yogi or jnana yogi or a ashtanga yogi or a bhakti yogi, the vehicle of body is needed. So the body and the soul has to be maintained. So that person namasu yavadartha. He says that whatever is bare minimum needed to keep his body and soul together, that much he accepts from this world of names, he says. Okay. So he accepts whatever is bare minimum needed to keep his body and soul together. Okay. Na yateta siddhe anyata. Na yateta anyata arte. And anything more than this he does not endeavor. Parishramam tatra samikshamanah. Because he understands that anything more than this involves lot of prayas. Okay. And his ultimate goal may get disturbed. So therefore he accepts only what is bare minimum necessary to keep his body and soul together. And then continues on his goal towards liberation. Okay, that's what this verse talks about. So from this world of names, he accepts only that which is necessary to keep his body and soul together. That is his attitude towards this material world. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, since an intelligent person knows well, he is not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality. Everything is but simply names of no more significance than the bubble of the sea waves. Okay. The bubble of the waves of either Indian Ocean or Arabian Sea, whatever it may last for a few seconds. Okay. But even Swarga and other planetary systems are like waves in the ocean of Garbhodaka. Those bubbles last for a little longer than these waves in the material, in this material world. So everything is but simply names of no more significance than the bubble of the sea waves. Human life is for tattva jigyasa. Therefore every second is valuable, Prabhupada writes. Therefore one should not waste even a moment just trying to adjust material situations. Therefore, a civilization that aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things. Therefore, the material body, they just follow the principle of making best use of the bad bargain. The material body is a bad bargain. Therefore, while you have one, use it for self-realization. That's what Prabhupada says. Because one may say that if everything is temporary and everything is illusory, this material body is also illusory. So, should I just reject it? He says, no. Make best use of the bad bargain. While you have a material body, use it for self-realization. Okay. Like that Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Then one may ask, what does it mean to keep the body and soul together? What is that standard? So Shukadeva Goswami mentions about this in two verses. He says, Satyam shitau kim kashipo prayasair bahau swasiddhe hyupabarhanai kim satyanjalau kim purudanna patrya digval kaladau satikim dukulaihi. He says, Satyam shitau kim kashipo prayasair. When the floor is there, what is the need for bed to sleep? Bahausva siddehi upabarhanai kim. When your hands are there, what is the need for a pillow? I use both my hands and a pillow to sleep. Otherwise I can't sleep. I need little raised, surface to sleep. But Shukadeva Goswami says, when you have your hands, why do you need a pillow? And Satyanjalau kim purudha anna patrya. And when you have two hands, why do you need various vessels? When you are thirsty, you can go to a river, take some water and drink. And when you are hungry, you can just pluck some fruits from the trees and eat. Why do you need so many vessels to cook? And you will need a rack to keep those vessels. And you will need some Lakshman Rekha to protect those vessels from cockroaches and all those things. For that one has to work. And then to wash those vessels, you will need some Vim Bar. Like that. So he says, when you have two hands, why do you need Purudha Anna Patra? There is no need. And then he says, Digvalkaladav Satikim Dukulair. When the four directions are there, why do you need clothes? And then he says, okay, if you are feeling shy, then tree barks are there. You can wear tree barks and then continue with your endeavor to achieve your highest goal. So therefore, he says, this is what is the meaning of doing the needful in order to progress in one's path of self-realization. That's what Shukadeva Goswami is telling. Here Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. He says, human energy is spoiled in a search after unwanted necessities. If we study the animals, they have no intelligence to make any comforts for eating, sleeping, etc. But still they are very healthy and happy. Then one may ask, so what do you mean? So the animals roam around naked. So should human beings also roam around like animals? You know, here and there searching for food. So Prabhupada says, no. Since we have a human body and a higher intelligence, we should use it for self-realization and not just for increasing our comforts. That's what it means. Therefore, when scriptures say, you know, such statements come, Prabhupada clarifies. He says, that does not mean that we should roam around like animals searching for food. But while we have a human body and a higher intelligence, we should use it for self-realization. Otherwise, such a civilization is under the clutches of Maya. And then Prabhupada says, great sages lived in simple huts, but they left a great wealth of literatures. Prabhupada is, you know, clarifying what it really means. They lived in simple huts, but they left great amount of literatures for the benefit of human beings. Therefore, the so-called comforts of life are not helpful for progressive civilization. Therefore, sincere followers are recommended to follow a voluntary life of renunciation. If one is not trained for it from the beginning, then it can start later also, Prabhupada says. If one is not trained in it from a very young age, then Prabhupada says, it's not late. You can start from right now, like that Prabhupada says. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is describing, he's contrasting this life of sense gratification with a life dedicated to achieving liberation, the renounced order of life. Okay. Then he says, but one may say, okay, during summer it's fine, even with tree barks or less clothes I can manage. But then during winter it's going to be really cold. You know, I will need some warm clothes, otherwise it will be difficult to meditate. So he says, Chirani kim patina santi? Are there no torn clothes lying on the side of the roads? You can pick some torn clothes, wash them and wear. Why do you have to earn and buy clothes and wear? He says, Chirani kim patina santi? Till recently, devotees from Gokuldam. Gokuldam, it's a farm community connected to Belgaum temple. They used to come to Chaupati, and I heard Pune also, once in 6 months. And they used to collect the old clothes of all devotees. Rejected clothes, torn clothes. They used to take them, wash them, stitch them. And that used to be their 6 months quota. Chiranikim patina santi. And then after 6 months, they will come again and then collect some more clothes like that. So, and then he says, but one may ask, okay, I will collect some old clothes, but what will I do if I am hungry? Shukadeva Goswami becomes angry. So he is telling, Naivangripa, Dishanti Bhiksham, Have the trees stopped giving bhiksha? Angripa means trees. You know, those who drink from their legs. Like from the roots, they take their nourishment. Naiva angripa dishante bhiksham. Have the trees stopped giving bhiksha? You go and ask the trees, take some fruits, eat. And if you are thirsty, saritopya shushyan. Have all the rivers dried up? Go to a river and drink some water. And then one may ask, where will I live? So he's asking, Ruddha Guhakim, have all the caves been closed? Okay, no vacancy. Go and live in a cave. But then one may say, I can live in a cave, but if someone else also comes and lives there, like a python, or Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, when he was living in a cave, how a snake came and, like Prabhupada says, he was the co-partner in that cave. So if I get such co-partners, then what will happen? How can I live in a cave like that? One may ask. Then Sukadeva Goswami becomes really angry. So he says, Ajito Avatina Upasannan, has Lord Ajita given upon his promise? Krishna said, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, Kaunteya Pratijanihi, Name Bhakta Pranashyati. My devotee shall never perish. Has Krishna forgotten that promise? You should have faith that when you are living in a cave or else anywhere it is, that is the primary principle of surrender. Rakshatiti Vishwaso Goptritve Varanam Tata. Having full faith that Krishna is my protector and he will protect me, and Krishna is my maintainer and he will maintain me. So why you are thinking so much about your protection? Have you forgotten that Krishna has given such a promise? Kasmat bhajanti kavayo dhanadurmadandan. So Sukadeva Goswami is asking, why then should a transcendentalist go and try to worship and try to cajole the wealthy materialists? Like once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining, he was speaking on fundraising. So he mentioned, we have friend raising. So he said, a transcendentalist or a devotee, he should be concerned about giving. Like Prabhupada is going to speak on it in his purport also, we will see. A transcendentalist should be, his mood should be to give, not to receive. Tirthi kurvam stadashramam, as we saw yesterday. And one should be satisfied in just giving. One should be satisfied if that other person is accepting what you are giving. And later, because of receiving something valuable, if they feel inspired to contribute something for the service of their lordships, then one can engage them in that service. But the prime mood is to give. Whether they get inspired to contribute or not is, he said, that is not our business. But if they show an interest, we can encourage them and guide them on how they can serve. But otherwise, a devotee's mood is how I can contribute for his betterment by giving the teachings of the scriptures. And one should be satisfied in that. That's what Maharaj was mentioning in one of the classes. So, same thing Prabhupada is also writing here in the purport. He's telling, the renounced order is not meant for begging or living at the cost of others like a parasite. Renounced order is meant for enlightening the householders on the topics of self-realization. They should contribute in the form of literatures. But if one cannot contribute in this way, he should not go for begging. Otherwise, it is an insult to the renounced order. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is especially speaking this verse for such mendicants. Like that. And of course, Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions about this How for a sannyasi these two principles of rakshati iti vishwaso and goptriptve varanam are very very vital, because there will be days in the life of a wandering mendicant when he may not get something to eat, when he may not get a favorable place to stay. But all the while, unless a wandering mendicant is convinced that Krishna is protecting me and Krishna is maintaining me, then it becomes difficult. So one, if one is not convinced, then one should not take up to the renounced order of life, Prabhupada writes. And Prabhupada of course quotes in the purport about Haridas Thakur, how Krishna protects. He gives the story of Haridas Thakur. How when one Haridas Thakur was staying in the cave, okay, many devotees used to come and meet him. But they became concerned because, as Prabhupada writes, another deadly snake was co-partnering Haridas Thakur in that cave. Okay? And they became concerned. So they suggested to Haridas Thakur that it's not safe for you to stay in this cave. So why don't you move to another place? And Haridas Thakur was thinking, Krishna is protecting me, I don't have any problem. But I don't want to put these devotees into anxiety. So for that purpose, let me move to another place. So while he was thinking like this, the python moved out in front of everyone, because, you know, Krishna inspired. The same thing we see in the case of Sanatan Goswami also, in Chakleshwar Mahadev temple. You know how Lord Shiva, because he wants to take association of Sanatan Goswami, he drives the mosquitoes away, like that. So one has to be, Prabhupada writes, one, if a mendicant or a renunciant has to be convinced of this fact that Krishna is protecting him and Krishna is maintaining him. If one does not have that faith, then one should not take up to the path of renounced order. That's what Prabhupada is writing, the purport. So here if you see what Shukadeva Goswami has done till now is, after establishing that, you know, after describing the Virat form, now he has to describe the Paramatma form. But before doing that, he is telling, don't get attached to this path of Karmakanda. As opposed to this, you should take up the path of liberation, which involves renunciation and accepting only the bare minimum. And he says, what does accepting bare minimum mean? This is what it means. He mentions in two verses. And then he says, if one happens to have this much renunciation and purity of heart, then he can meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord. This he mentions in the next verse. He says, evam svachitte svata eva siddha atma priyorto bhagavan anantah tam nirvrito niyatarto bhajeta samsara heto paramascha yatra. Evam svataha. If one is thus situated, which means if one's lifestyle is according to these two verses, okay, if one's lifestyle follows these two verses, evam svataha, and if one's heart is also pure, because if material hankerings are there for better and better facilities, then one cannot follow this lifestyle also for long. So following this lifestyle for long also means one's heart is pure enough to not hanker for better facilities. Evam svataha. Thus being situated, okay, Bhagavan svachitte eva siddha. That Supreme Lord becomes immediately manifest within the heart of such a person who is thus situated, so that he can meditate on that form. Nirvritaha niyatartaha tam bhajeta. Then the yogi, on seeing this Paramatma form of the Lord, becomes very joyful, and in a very regulated way he starts worshipping this Paramatma form of the Lord. And what is the result of such a worship? Samsara hetu uparamaha. By this worship, the cause of repeated birth, samsara, is destroyed. So if a person is situated, is ready to be situated in this way, accepting only the bare minimum and completely concentrated on his goal of life, then in the heart of such a person, the Supreme Lord in his Paramatma feature become manifest, and the yogi with great joy meditates and worships this form of Paramatma within his heart, and the result is that very soon he achieves liberation. That's what Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning in this verse. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, a soul's constitutional position is to serve, but being illusioned by Maya, he seeks for the service of illusion. That's why he is looking for happiness in family, wealth, etc. But it is like searching for water in a mirage. Searching for material happiness is like searching for water in a mirage. One would never get it. But one may say, okay, if it is like searching for water in a mirage, one may come to the conclusion that therefore there is no water at all. I thought that was water, but it ended up being a mirage. Therefore, my conclusion is that there is no water in this world. Prabhupada says that is an unintelligent conclusion. So he says, but only a less intelligent person would conclude that because there is no water in the mirage, there is no water at all. Whom is Prabhupada addressing here? The impersonalists who say that material variety has given me trouble, therefore any variety is troublesome. I want to merge into the varietyless Brahma Jyoti. That is their conclusion. The opposite of variety is no variety. What they don't understand is that opposite of material variety is spiritual variety. So that's what Prabhupada says, that only a foolish person would come to such a conclusion. This person runs after mirage once, twice, thrice and comes to the conclusion that there is no water at all. But more intelligent people search for water near water bodies and not in a desert. Similarly, everyone is looking for happiness, but foolish people only search for it in the material world, and after repeatedly searching, they conclude that there can be no happiness. But the problem is they are searching in the wrong place for happiness. But such happiness can be achieved only by worship of Krishna, who is in everyone's heart. He says, Tam nirvrito niyatartho bhajeta. By worshipping such a Lord, the yogi gets a lot of bliss, nirvritaha, which means he achieves a state of intense bliss like that. Okay, let's continue. So before continuing further, once more, Shukadeva Goswami wants to make it doubly sure that one does not reconsider the path of Karmakanda, which is promising Swarga and other enjoyment. So he says, Kastam tvanadritya paranuchintam rite pashunasatim namakuryat pashyanjanam patitam vaitaranyam swakarma janparitapanjushanam. So he says, Kastam tvanadritya paranuchintam. Who in this world would reject such a noble path which involves meditating on this beautiful form of the Lord within the heart and accept this path of sense gratification, especially after seeing swakarmajam paritapan jushanam, especially after seeing how people of this world are suffering because of engaging in endeavors to achieve sense gratification. Patitam vaitaranyam, and falling into this hellish river, which is described in the fifth canto, to be made of all abominable substances, mucus, blood, pus, etc. Especially after seeing that every person who is acting for his own sense gratification eventually is suffering due to that. In spite of seeing such a day-to-day happening, If one gives up this noble path of liberation and takes up again to this path of sense gratification, Rite Pashun, he says that he is equivalent to an animal. Other than an animal, he says, I can't think of anyone else who would accept such a low path. Like that, Shukadeva Goswami denounces this path of sense gratification in comparison to the path of liberation, which involves meditation on the Paramatma, Lord within the heart, like that. Let's continue. So now he is going to describe this form of Paramatma within the heart. This is the second topic.
Kechit swadehantar hridayavakashe pradeshamatram purusham vasantam chaturbhujam kanjaratangashanka gadadaram dharanayasmaranti.
Kechit. Some yogis who are qualified to meditate on this form of Paramatma, Kechit. Swadehantar hridayavakashe, within the region of their heart, Pradesha Matram, Prabhupada says Pradesha Matram means the distance between the ring finger and thumb, whichever way you take. Prabhupada says it's 8 inches, okay, which means maybe something like this, 8 inches. Pradesha Matram Purusham Vasantam, Chaturbhujam Kanja Ratanga Shankha, he's holding Shankha Chakra Gadapadma, Gadadaram Dharanaya Smaranti, and by contemplation, this Paramatma form of the Lord appears in the heart of such a pure-hearted yogi, whose lifestyle was mentioned in verses 3rd and 4th, or 4th and 5th verses. Okay. So, let's continue.
Prasanna vaktram nalinaya tekshanam kadamba kinjal kapishanga vasasam lasan maharat nahiran mayangadam Spuran Maharatna Kirita Kundalam.
Prasanna Vaktram, he has a smiling face. Nalina Ayata Ikshanam, Nalina means lotus. Nalina Ayata Ikshanam means his eyes are as beautiful as lotus petals. Kadamba Kinjalka Pishanga Vasasam, his dress is of the color of the saffron yellow color of Kadamba pollen. Hiranmaya Angadam. Angadam means omelets. He is wearing golden omelets. Lasat Maharatna, which is studded with dazzling rubies. Spurat Maharatna Kirita Kundalam. And the kundala and kirita that he is wearing is also studded with very valuable stones.
Unnidahat Pankaja Karnikalaye Yogeshwarastapita Pada Pallavam Sri Lakshmanam Kaustubaratna Kandaram Amlana Lakshmya Vanamalayachitam.
Pada Pallavam Yogeshwara Unnidhrit Pankaja Karnikalaye Astapita. Where is this Supreme Lord situated? It's a very poetic description. The heart of the yogi is compared to a fully blossomed lotus. Unnedra Hrit Pankaja Karnika Alaye, in the world of that lotus, Astapita Pada Pallavam. The Paramatma forms, two lotus feet are situated in the heart of this yogi, which is compared to a fully blossomed lotus. Sri Lakshmanam, he has this Shivatsa mark. Kaustubha Ratna Kandaram, and on his neck is a chain in which the Kaustubha money is hung. Amlana Lakshmya Vanamalayachitam. Amlana Lakshmya. Amlana means that which does not fade, very fresh. Lakshmya means very beautiful. So he is wearing a Vanamala which never fades and it's always very beautiful. That's the description of the Paramatma form of the Lord within the heart.
Vibhushitam me kalayanguliya kair Mahadanairno Purakankanadibihi Snigdamala Kunchitani Lakuntalair Virochamana Nanahasa Peshalam.
Vibhushitam Mekalaya Anguliyakair. Mekala is the kamarpatti, the belt. Anguliyakair is rings. Mahadanair, which is very valuable, made with gold and diamonds and other such valuable, you know, metals. Nupura Kankanadibihi, and he is also wearing Nupur Kankana is bracelet. Snigda Amala Akunchita Neela Kuntalair, and his hair is described. Snigda means very shiny. Amala means spotless. Akunchita Neela Kuntalair. Okay. Snigda Amala Akunchita means curly. Neela means the color of Lord's hair is not exactly pitch dark. It has a bluish tint. Like that. Neela Kuntalair. As opposed to the form seen by Bhishma Dev on the battlefield. Bhishma Dev says, Yudhi Turaga Rajo Vidumra Vishwak Kachalulita Shramavari Alankritasi. He is meditating on this form of Parthasarathi. When he is working so hard to protect his devotee, Arjuna. So, Bhishma Dev says, Yudhi Turaga Rajo Vidhumra Vishwak. He sees that the Lord's hair is grey in color because of the dust which is raised by the hoofs of the horses on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Yudhi Turaga Rajo Vidhumra Vishwak. Kachalulita Shramavari Alankritasi. And there are some pearls decorating the forehead of Krishna. What are those pearls? Perspiration. Shramavari. Vari means water. Shramavari means that water which is born out of Shrama. Endeavor. Like that he is telling. Whereas here, the form of the Lord, his hair has a bluish tint. And it is amala, spotless. Whereas on the battlefield, the Supreme Lord's hair is spotless in the sense that there is no original black color visible. It is completely gray in color because of the dust raised by the hoof print of, by the hoofs of the horses, like that. Virochamana anana hasa peshalam. And such a beautiful curly bluish hair is ornamenting his smiling face, like that. Shukadeva Goswami is describing this form of Paramatma. Adina Leela Hasitekshanolasad Bhrubanga Samsuchita Bhuryanugraham Iksheta Chinta Mayame Namishwaram Yavan Mano Dharanayavatishtate. He says, Adina Leela Hasita Ikshana. His sweet, playful, smiling glance. The sweet, playful, smiling glance of the Lord. Samsuchita Bhuri Anugraham. Samsuchita means indicates. It indicates Bhuri Anugraham. Bhuri means bountiful mercy. Bountiful means abundant. So we also say, Prabhuji, aapka, you please shower your merciful glance on me. But what does it really mean to shower one's merciful glance? Kapiladev mentions in the third canto. What is that mercy of the Lord's glance? What is the meaning of the Lord's Kripa Kataksha? He says, Tasyava lokamadikam kripayati gora tapatrayopashamanayan srishtamakshnoho. So he says, Tasya avalokam adhikam kripaya. Adhikam kripaya means bountiful mercy. Same meaning. The glance of the Lord, nisrishtamakshnoho, that which emanates from the eyes of the Supreme Lord, is adhikam kripaya. It is endowed with bountiful mercy. What is the meaning of that bountiful mercy? Atigora tapatraya upashamanaya. It destroys the terrible threefold miseries. Atigora tapatraya upashamanaya. When the Lord's merciful glance falls on his devotees, that glance destroys the fearful threefold miseries. Adhyatmik, adibhautik and adidaivik kleshas. That is the meaning of bhuri anugraham, bountiful mercy, like that. So, his sweet, playful, smiling glance indicates his bountiful mercy. Iksheta enam ishwaram. One should see this form of the Lord. Chintamayam. Chintamayam means that which appears by contemplation in the heart of a yogi. Contemplation indicates endeavor from the side of the yogi. So he has to endeavor to see this form. Like this morning, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu was mentioning. He mentioned that wherever whatever you are searching for, you will get only that. Prabhuji was mentioning. So same thing, chintamayam. So the yogi has to endeavor to see that form. And then what he gets to see? The same form. The form of Paramatma. So, Iksheta Chintamayam Enam Ishwaram. Because the yogi is endeavoring to see that form, the Lord, being pleased with the endeavor of that yogi, manifests himself in the heart of that yogi. Of course, this Paramatma form is present in everyone's heart, but the yogi gains access to see and meditate on this form of the Lord. Yavan mano dharanaya avatishtate. Until the mind becomes fully absorbed in this form of the Lord, he should continue to meditate on this form of the Lord. Yavan mano dharanaya avatishtate. Like that. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Klesho adhikataras tesham avyaktasakta chetasam. Again and again, in this whole section of Virat meditation, Prabhupada constantly keeps reminding us, see, don't try to meditate on this Virat form because it's difficult. Better is to meditate on the deity form of the Lord. It's much more easier. But of course, here, meditating on the Paramatma form of the Lord is mentioned. This is not avyaktasakta. This is a personal form of the Lord. And therefore, Prabhupada is talking about it. Therefore, positive meditation on the form of the Lord is recommended here. But here the form of the Lord that is mentioned is the form within the heart, the Lord within the heart. This process of meditation recommended here is after one is liberated from the material conception by practice of Jnana Yoga. Prabhupada is talking about the yoga ladder. First purify yourself by practice of Jnana Yoga, then you can meditate on the form of Paramatma. But by directly taking up to Bhakti Yoga, via the process of anartha nivritti, all material contaminations are removed. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga includes Jnana Yoga. He says, true, one can meditate on this form of Paramatma after one's heart is purified by practice of Jnana Yoga. So you have to practice Jnana Yoga, then give up that path, then take up to a new path of Ashtanga Yoga, learn it, practice it. Prabhupada says, that's all not necessary. Just by practice of same Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, automatically Anartha Nivritti also happens. Then Nishta, steady meditation also happens. Then not only steady meditation, that takes one to the state of Asakti, attraction to that form. Ruchi, deriving great pleasure out of that form. And then Bhava and Prema, eventually developing great love for that form of the Lord. So he says, you need not take up to various paths, because it is said one who has material desires must first take up to the path of Karmakanda, because that gives him an opportunity to enjoy his fruits, at the same time be within the Vedic fold. Then slowly he is recommended to give up, he is allowed to act according to his inclinations, but encouraged to give up the attachment to the fruits. He comes to the stage of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Slowly, when he learns to detach himself from the fruits of his activities, his heart becomes pure enough and he can give up the activities also. Then he comes to the stage of Jnana Yoga. Then, subsequently, from the stage of Jnana Yoga, he may choose to achieve liberation, or he may choose to go to the stage of Paramatma meditation where he can meditate on the Paramatma form of the Lord. From there also he can choose to achieve liberation, or he may choose to take up the path of bhakti and progress further. Okay, so that's what Prabhupada is writing here. All these various paths, but in this yoga ladder, at every stage you have to change your path. You have to give up that path and take up a new path. Okay, therefore when Brahmaji asked the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how should I act while I am engaged in this creation process? How should I act so that I don't become overcome by lethargy or pride? Lethargy is due to mode of ignorance, and pride is due to mode of passion. How can I protect myself? So Krishna gives a very cryptic answer. He says, etavadeva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmana anvaya vyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. He says, my dear Brahma, this is the solution for your trouble. How you can protect yourself? He said, find out that process which when performed will give the result, which when not performed will not give the result, which is the only process which can be performed by everyone at all times under all circumstances. Find out what that process is and perform that process, and you will be protected. Because here in 4 verses, the Supreme Lord has to summarize the whole Bhagavatam. So if he directly keeps describing the whole thing, then it may take a very long time. So in this one verse, you know, a lot of information is zipped. Okay. So he says, that process which can be carried out by everyone at all times under all situations. So either at the sadhana stage or at the sadhya stage, or even after going to the spiritual world, the limbs of bhakti remain the same, and one practices the same limbs either at the practicing stage or at the perfected stage. Okay, but in the other practices, it is not the same case. The sadhana and sadhya is different. The sadhana for a karmakandi is engage in one's prescribed duties, and whatever fruits come, he is enjoying. But what is the sadhya? Eventually, he is encouraged to come to the stage of giving up those fruits. So what he is enjoying right now, he has to give it up. So there is a change. And the Nishkama Karma Yogi, he is engaged in his prescribed duty, that is his sadhana. But his sadhya is to achieve a pure heart and Brahman realization, after reaching which he gives up his prescribed duties. So the sadhana changes and the sadhya also changes. Okay. So like that, for every practitioner, there is a difference between the sadhana and sadhya. So therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, while commenting on this verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, he says that this is possible only for a devotee. It is not possible for any other practitioner. He says, how? One may say, why not? Just like a devotee can be focused in serving the Lord, why can't an aspiring, a person who is aspiring for liberation, be focused in his practice of Jnana Yoga? It's possible. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, or for that matter, even a Karmakandi can have Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. If he wants to enjoy, if he wants to go to Swarga, he can so perfectly practice his path of performing various yajñas and sacrifices so that he can go to Swarga. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that, you see, any practitioner, his intelligence has 2 focus. Say, for example, if someone is preparing for medical entrance exam, okay, his focus, part of his intelligence is meditating on, if I pass this exam, I will become a doctor. Because that meditation is needed. Because that's what is going to give him the inspiration to practice, isn't it? Okay. So a part of his intelligence is meditating on the benefits of passing this exam. And a part of his intelligence has to meditate on the sadhana, the actual studies. So he says, any practice you take other than bhakti, there is a sadhya sadhana bheda. There is a difference between the sadhana and sadhya. What is to be practiced and what is to be achieved. Therefore, the intelligence is split at least into two parts. And then he says, but it cannot be two, it has to be three. Because he cannot just practice and achieve the goal. He has to practice bhakti also. Because bhakti is the active ingredient. Only when that active ingredient is there, he will get the result. So therefore, there is no two, but there are three things he has to concentrate on. So therefore, vyavasayatmika buddhi is not possible for any other practitioner except for devotees. Why? Because he explains that for a devotee, what is his sadhana? Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, etc. What is his sadhya? Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. What is the active ingredient? Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam. So therefore, there is no bheda. Therefore, vyavasayatmika buddhi. He need not think about anything else. He can just engage his intelligence in performing this process of bhakti. Like that, he describes that how this vyavasayatmika buddhi is possible only for the practitioner of devotional service and not for any other practitioners like that. Okay. So therefore, Prabhupada is mentioning here, why practice all these other paths, directly take up to the path of bhakti, and one of the stages of progress of bhakti is anarthana vritti. Automatically that anarthana vritti will happen. You need not practice jnana yoga for anarthana vritti and then take up to ashtanga yoga to meditate on the paramatma form of the Lord and then graduate to bhakti and perform pure devotional service. He says that's not needed. Bhakti in itself is self-dependent. It's not dependent on anything else, any other process. Okay. Bhakti can accomplish anything which any other path can accomplish. In fact, all the other paths need to have the ingredient of bhakti to achieve success. Okay. Just like we saw yesterday the example of the active ingredient in surf. So if one just collects those blue and red balls and just add that to water and mix, you know, cleansing action will happen. That white powder is not needed. Okay. So like that. So Krishna mentions this in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. So he says, Yat karma bir, yat tapasa, jnana vairagya taschayat, yogena dana dharmena shreyobir itarairapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakta labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchid yadivanchati. Krishna says that yat karma bir, what can be achieved by karma, yat tapasa, that goal which can be achieved by tapasya, yat karma bir yat tapasa, and so on. Yogena dana dharmena shreyobir itarairapi, or by yoga, dana, dharma, whatever benefit that one can achieve by any of these practices, sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakta labate anjasa. All these things my devotee can achieve by merely practicing bhakti. Nothing else. Swarga apavarga maddama katanchi dedivanchati. Even if he may desire swarga, liberation or my abode, I am just waiting to bestow it to him. Like that Krishna says to Uddhava. Okay. So that's what Prabhupada is also writing here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.